We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network. WEEI 93.7 FM.
Dickerson Hart, Bradford, Sports Radio WEEI. Hey, Eamon, just so I could tease it, who's coming up at noontime?
Nobody.
Great tease. Oh, you know who'll be on?
Why would you even ask that question?
The legend.
Jerry Trupiano.
Incorrect. Guess again.
Mustard and Johnson.
That is also incorrect.
Okay. Jerry Trupiano. I'm serious.
You can't answer twice. Before Jerry Trupiano.
The guy that I'm on with tomorrow plus Mark James.
Incorrect.
Okay. Who is it I'm with on tomorrow again? Brian Barrett.
The guy that I'm on with tomorrow.
I don't know him.
That relationship is off to a nice start. Dickerson doesn't remember anybody's name around here. Poor Nick.
Holy Moses. I met Nick like once, right, Nick?
I think it was more than that.
That's like every 7 months.
Every 7 months. It's been a long 5 months. Give me a break.
Not going to lie to you, if you'd asked me his name, I'm not trying. Sorry, Nick. I know your last name, LePan, right?
Yep, you do.
See, I think of you as LePan. I don't know
That's
why.
That's fine. You can call me whatever.
Okay. Just letting you know.
Remember,
don't open that door.
Would you like to guess again who's on it?
You guys want to make
Jerry
a guess?
Jerry Trupiano.
Rack him. Stop that.
He is all in on Jerry Trupiano.
I've been hearing him every single night.
Rack him.
Jim Rome?
What? Seriously? Jim Rome?
Romy.
Wait, what?
Clones.
He's on it. Noon?
Yeah, I think he's taking us noon to 3 up until the Red Sox Classics. Interesting.
Mark James filling in for him? Because he has made it very clear he has filled in for,
yes, he has.
For,
yes, he
Jim Rome.
And he's a
big timer.
Do you guys know? I know Andy Hart knows. Here's a trivia. Here's a Mark James trivia question.
I may not know. I try not to listen to him.
Oh, no, you know this one because he said it so many times. Who is... What famous athlete lists Mark James as his favorite talk show host?
This is a layup. You know this.
Steph Curry?
Steph Curry.
Okay.
Bing, 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 he does say bing, a lot. Bing. There you go. You guys were mentioning off the air.
Yes.
Shalise Manzi Young. Was it a tweet? Was it a
column?
Was it a column on
interview.
Yahoo?
Interview.
And then we interviewed her yesterday on the Andy Hart Show with Rich Keefe. Because Dale was out, and that's what I like to call it when I'm in with just Rich. But we did a very nice interview with Shalise Manzi Young, and she was reacting to the Felger and Maz video that made the rounds pretty much everywhere. I mean, it started out on the internet, but then it made its way to all the network talk shows, ESPN, Fox. She basically said, when you say things like they said, talking about his celebrations, that there are dog whistles.
Set it up a little bit. I know it's on another station, blah, blah, blah. But what was it exactly? For people who did not hear it, what exactly caused her dander to
get up? It was mainly Mike Felger. Tony was sort of a quiet bystander for much of it. And Felger's...
You're right.
Yes.
What did they say, Mike?
Felger,
so it was a usual show.
Yes. Felger basically criticized Cam Newton's Superman celebration, dabbing, me first, optics, I guess is the word we use these days,
which, by the way, he despises amongst all athletes.
Right. He has a thing against his guy, Aaron Rodgers, the discount double check, yes. And he doesn't like that. There's some consistency there. So Shalise sees that as you're telling on yourself, basically, was her column, that, you know, you're kind of outing yourself maybe having some racial biases. I don't know that the word racist ever appears in the column. I don't think it does.
So if I it goes in that direction. So if I criticize a black player for anything, then Shalise Manzi Young all of a sudden turns it into a racial thing.
You may have conscious or not.
Unconscious or unconsciously.
I don't think it's unconscious.
Is it not unconscious?
Subconscious.
Subconscious. You're right. It's subconscious.
Unconscious is a whole other thing, Craig.
It's basically what I've been for the last 2 hours.
My unconscious takes
minutes.
Have been awesome.
Yes, yes. That you have some biases.
Okay.
Based on whatever. So we had her on. We talked to her about a lot of different things. Now, she is for people that don't know Shalise, worked her way up, local girl, Providence
Herald.
Journal, Herald, covered the Patriots for probably a
Globe.
Decade. She was with the Globe, yes.
She was with the Globe?
I think she was with the Herald, too.
I thought she was with the Herald.
Just the Globe? I know she was with the Projo. I don't know which Boston's paper she was with.
Yeah, Rob would.
Okay.
I have a chart at my house of where everyone goes.
It's called the lipstick list if you watch Billy Madison.
Yeah.
So she worked her way up through the Patriots beat. She covered high school sports, different things around here, and is now a columnist for Yahoo.com. And this was her take on the Felger and Maz thing. We had her on to talk about it. Are you looking over there because you're setting up an audio clip? With
no, I just...
You're giving him eyeballs. You're like Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne, and I don't know what route you're running.
Oh, I'm always like... You know what it is, Andy?
Do you have audio, Eamon?
It's a Pat Mahomes look away.
Andy, it's...
Maybe if you guys had told me we were going here, I could have grabbed something.
Oh. That's pointed at you, not me. You're the host.
And you don't need binoculars to get a
camera. Somebody's got the red ass over there. Jeez.
The red ass.
Glenn Dickerson over there.
So,
listen, hey, Eamon, why are you... I mean, how come you couldn't read my mind and think of the sound I was talking about? Aaron, why are you not playing... What is your name again? It doesn't really matter to me. You're not playing the sound.
So, it was interesting because Rich and I had two... We both got a little defensive upon reading the column, but for different reasons. I have admitted Cam Newton rubs me the wrong way. The me first antics,
yep.
Sort of a similar commentary. Didn't know I was a racist because I felt that. Rich.
Well, now you know. I hope you feel good about yourself.
Rich was more offended that Shalise watched Felger rant and basically said, that's all of Boston.
Right.
Basically use that as a jumping off point of that's what Cam's coming into in the city of Boston, because the headline, I forget, was definitely
from a guy
Boston
who's from Wisconsin.
Related.
From a guy who's from Wisconsin.
From a guy who's from Wisconsin. So I thought we had a nice 15 or 20 minute conversation. Apparently none of those clips are available yesterday. But the what I ended with is, on a positive note, if Cam Newton, forget about our fight from an hour ago, if Cam Newton wins the starting job, becomes the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, something the Patriots haven't had. Jacoby Brissett was not a starter for the Patriots. He's a guy who started games, Greg. Correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Not a starter.
If Cam Newton ascends to not only starts this year, maybe this extends. Franchise tag, long-term deal. He is the post-Tom Brady quarterback for your New England Patriots. Is that a good thing for the city of Boston, its racial reputation and everything that goes into it? And then I asked her, even, is it unfair to ask him to do that, to shoulder that load? And she went down the road of he is different, but she sort of dismissed Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and David Ortiz.
Well, she basically came out and said it would be a first. And then she said, then she maybe he can walk in the footsteps of David Ortiz.
But I do believe.
Does it have to be a quarterback?
Cam is different. He's a superstar.
I understand that, but for us to push away this decades-long perception of Boston.
Right.
Does a quarterback, does the black player have to be a quarterback? He can't be a power forward, can't be a wide receiver, he can't be a tight end, he can't be a right winger. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
He can't be a first baseman.
Right winger would help. But sure. Certainly the quarterback position is different, right?
Yes. Yes.
You know, you're the face of a corporation, a multi-billion-dollar, $4 billion corporation. You talk 3 times a week in front of a backdrop, an official press conference. You do the morning show WEEI.
I'm sorry, how many times a week?
Well, I include the morning show on WEEI.
Okay.
So post-game, midweek, and now, if you're Tom Brady, you push it off all you want.
Right, it's one time.
It goes from 15 minutes to 2.7 minutes and all that over the course of time. But you're still the face of the franchise, and it would be interesting to see how he would deal with that. I mean, is there a pressure there? Does he not care? Maybe he doesn't care.
My take on it, it's two different conversations. And obviously, with everything going on now, this is going to be everyone's going to be hypersensitive to this. And I understand that. But in a lot of criticism that New England and Boston has gotten recently is deserved. And we know this. This is one of the things that I don't think anyone's refuting. But at the same time, when she's talking about, well, maybe this is a significant moment, I don't think that Boston has ever said, oh, my goodness, there's a black athlete and we can't hold him up on a pedestal.
No.
And I think that that's sort of where she was trying to force that narrative. And it's just not true. I mean, whether it's, you know, he mentioned David Ortiz or Pedro Martinez or Paul Pierce or Isaiah Thomas or Mookie Betts. Like,
KG,
this is,
like, right, the list is long.
Why is it that almost every single one of these star, successful black athletes, how come just 99% of them turn around and just say glowing things about the city of Boston?
Right, like Kevin Garnett. I mean, Kevin Garnett.
Garnett.
You know,
Paul Pierce.
You know,
right,
this. You were
Randy
there.
Randy Moss.
You were there.
I'll go on.
You were there. And did anyone say, and Kevin Garnett's a good example, because I think people around here, he came in here, and it wasn't like, oh, my goodness, an African-American guy is having this position of being out there and being popular. No, it was another guy, another professional athlete we like and is being a face of the franchise. This is how it works in Boston. The other stuff, I get it. I get the you go out in the streets or you go in the stands and people are the awful, awful incidents. But in regards to Cam Newton, all of a sudden Cam Newton is the African-American quarterback of the New England Patriots and it's going to change the perception of how everything is around here. I don't think so.
Not one person cares, Rob.
Wait, but it could change the perception from afar,
but
even if it doesn't change the reality
right,
from within.
You're right, but do we care about
lazy,
that?
No, because I think I say this all the time. Boston sports fans, and I mean this in sort of a positive way, are frauds. In that, if you are good, we will find a way to cheer you and make excuses for anything you do.
Yep.
And I think Manny Ramirez is the perfect example. People, you know, Manny being Manny, Manny was a dink. But because he was hitting 35 home runs and 140 RBI, he's my dink, damn it.
Andy, I did a story the other few weeks ago about putting ads on uniform, and I talked to the guy who runs Uniwatch, which all he does is look at uniforms, and he had a great point.
There is
he
such said, a thing.
Whoa, it's a great website.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah, he obsesses over all things uniforms.
Does he make money doing this?
Evidently. He's been doing it a while.
Wow.
You can get in if you still. Wow. That's a sweet expo.
I got to think of something there.
But
his wife's a Walton.
He made a great point. He's like, I'm a lifelong Mets fan, but if they traded the 25 Mets for the 25 Yankees tomorrow and they switch uniforms, all those guys I hated, I'd be rooting for.
Right.
Like, that's, and to your point, that's how it works here.
And that's how it should be to some degree.
And so would the Cam Newton thing, would nationally, for these national talk shows, maybe, but that's, to me, that would be a lazy narrative. That would be, that isn't reality about the issues that we have in Boston. That's not, like, they're looking at it from the 30,000 foot view. Who was it? Someone got in trouble when Brissett was the quarterback. Who was it? There was, oh man, I'm going to think.
Andy Hart.
So somebody tweeted something like, figures that the Patriots did this.
You're talking about a national media person?
Yeah, I'm going to think of it. But it's figures that Brissett, like, they did something, a black quarterback.
Traded him? You're talking about, like,
probably something like that. And it was like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you, like, but that's the lazy narrative that I think that a lot of the national media has. And it's not a lazy narrative because of all the things that I said, the problems that we have in this area in terms of racism. There's no question about that. But to think that Cam Newton is going to change everything or that Cam Newton's going to be viewed in a different light than Tom Brady was, not because of his race, I don't think that's the case. He will be viewed in a different light because he's a different person and he doesn't have the track record and all of that, but not because of his race.
Let me ask you this. Ask 100 Patriot fans. Do a poll. 100 Ooh. Patriot fans.
Family Feud.
Would
survey
you,
says.
Survey says Brian Hoyer.
No.
And
no.
If you asked 100 Patriot fans, would you rather see a healthy Jarrett Stidham or a healthy Cam Newton as your starting quarterback week one of the NFL season, I would venture to say somewhere around 85 to 90 people would say Cam Newton.
No question. And the others are those real, like,
Racist?
No. I think there's a portion that may be racist.
There are a couple.
But I also think there's those real dorky ones that, wow, well, Jared Stidham is better, and if he's better, that right, long-term,
Jared Stidham,
he's cheaper, and Pat's cap told me we only have $263,000, so it'll be better for the long-term finances of the blah, blah.
Don't you crap all over Miguel.
I'm not. I love Miguel. He does the dirty work no one else wants to do. Keep track of the decimal points. I love Miguel. But, yeah, Cam Newton's a star. He is a
potential star. Potential star.
No. Cam Newton is a star.
Was a star.
He could be a good player.
He was a star.
He's still
and
a star. I would argue
star.
He's still a star. There is a
no,
certain.
If he was a star, he
visual.
Would have been signed up already.
No, the player and the star are two different things. You can be a great player and not a star. He is
okay,
a
I
star.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
He is a. The world revolves around him. When he walks in a room, there's like an aura. There's a focus on him
aura.
As a star. Yeah.
It's like a glow.
Yes.
As.
Are you mocking me or agreeing? I'm not
no,
sure.
I'm trying to do a Dave Chappelle.
I mean,
you talk about his aura. He's a glow.
Have you ever seen Cam Newton walk by? It's like
yes.
Between the attire, the massive size of him, where it's like, he's a quarterback. Did you hear the Ryan Clark go off on his rant of why he joined the media?
No.
Because he walked by Cam Newton and said, if those are what quarterbacks look like now, safeties like me got no place in this game anymore. And he called an agent and said, get me some media gigs. That's what Cam is. He's just a whole, and we have it. We didn't have Shalice Manzi-Young, but we have Ryan Clark talking about why he moved on to the media.
What was it like being out on the field knowing I got to stop that guy?
Well, you know, Cam Newton is what started me on going into TV. I walked past Cam Newton in his first year, and much like Mohamed Sanu, who is a very big man, Cam Newton was walking on the field. I was walking out the locker room. They're on opposite sides. Me and Cam Newton crossed like this. I looked at him, and I said to myself, well, if they're going to start making quarterbacks like this, I need to start working on my second career. And that's what I started doing.
That was funny.
You don't find that as funny as whoever was laughing in the background?
That was hilarious.
I'm not one of those.
It was funny.
Oh, good one, Rob.
You're trying. See,
can
you're
you
trying.
Be that way a little bit, please? Oh, that's hour and a half.
Another good one, Rob.
Thank you.
We're cruising right along. I like to call Mark and Hart the fastest 4 hours in radio.
Is this faster?
We're chugging right along. This train is like in.
I'll tell you what's going to move it along like even faster, the breaking news. Here's some breaking news for you.
Please don't tell me Kyle Hart was cut.
Do you want the sounder? Should we play the sounder? Is it that big?
I don't know if we can find it on such short notice.
No, we can't. Oh, he finds that.
This is breaking news.
That's
brought
true.
By Northeast Insurance, a proud sponsor of Clear Path for Veterans New England.
Wait a minute.
Step on the sponsor.
Wait a minute. We've done something new with this radio station?
Serious breaking news.
I feel like this is going to be great for Northeast Insurance because the breaking news is that we have video of players running up and down through the stands at Fenway Park. And there are showers. We can confirm showers have been made in the concourse of Fenway Park.
Oh, somebody's going to get a nice little show later on living in one of those buildings around Fenway.
Mark showers? Daniels has got the old cell phone and the binoculars out.
Getting them adjusted right as we speak.
They place showers in the concourse?
In the concourse.
You mean like you pull down the ripcord?
I don't know what type of shower. Sure.
Yeah,
a shower.
Water comes out of it and you clean off under it. I didn't know we needed to explain what a shower was.
Well, no, you do when you say showers in the concourse.
They have 67 people who have to distance themselves while taking care of themselves.
Yep. I don't know.
Have you heard of coronavirus?
I'm familiar with it. Why don't you take a shower in the clubhouse?
Because you're not allowed to. There's lots of rules against it. Yeah.
I don't know what they're using the WEI studio for. They are using the WEI studio for something. I guarantee you.
You don't want to know.
It's like the hot tub or something. There's a lot going on over there.
The WEI studio. That's where you stay. That's where you're locked in.
Yeah.
If you potentially have.
In the words of the goalie in Slapshot, you go and you feel shame.
Shame.
So Rob, you know the Red Sox players intimately, and I can tell you this: that in the NFL world. The fattest, I guess we'll go with, least attractive player is generally the one who just throws the towel over his shoulder and then walks down the center of everybody with all to see.
This is trouble.
Who's the Red Sox player most likely to strut up to one of those with just a towel over his shoulder and nothing else?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not so much it's always the fat guy, but it's without naming names. They're always the guys who just have no concept
yeah.
of like, hey, don't, you don't need to, when you're doing this interview, you don't need to be facing out toward us. With, you know, it's
this is what you came
but
to
now,
see.
But
it's funny, in basketball, it was they're very
protective,
what's the word I'm trying to think of?
Shy.
Bashful. Yes.
Timid.
Yeah, there was never
a lot of players are, like Brady was. Like, so, a lot of the stars are, but I'm telling you, if you weighed 360 and you were like, you just threw the towel. Vince actually had a bathrobe that he would wear.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had a bathrobe.
I don't remember that. Huh.
And then there was Gray Rugemer, who would walk by naked, bend over, and say, is there a hole in my butt?
The fear,
offensive lineman, am I correct?
Usually them. The fear is that these guys in the next 3 weeks get way too comfortable in their surroundings and start roaming around Fenway
naked.
Park.
Yes. Yes. That you will have pictures out there, TMZ or whatever.
Can you imagine?
Let's get them on WEEI.com. Let's go.
Some unnamed reporters who like to follow whatever the players do will follow suit.
Jonathan Papelbon was still on this
right.
on this ball club. Oh, yeah. What he would do,
Kevin Millar.
Well, first of all, there'd be no mask wearing.
No, God, no.
His mask would be a Bud Light.
No,
box.
He'd be walking around with his shotgun.
Right over the hole.
I don't wear no friggin' mask.
I got a Bud Light box on. This is the same thing. I can't spit on you.
Let's get some of your phone calls right after the break. 617-779-7937. Andy Hart, Rob Bradford, Greg Dickerson, Sports Radio WEEI.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Sports Radio WEEI, Andy Hart, Rob Bradford, Greg Dickerson, 617-779-7937. Your phone calls. Eric is in Winthrop. Eric, welcome to the show. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hey, I love the fill-in shows, man. It's great. It's a nice change of pace.
So much better than the stale. Isn't it so much better than the stale, boring, repetitive stuff that you get from the guys who are on 5 days a week, four hours a day?
I love the regulars, too, but it is a nice change of pace.
Well, here's good news. There's no better way to celebrate our country's independence than by listening to Greg Dickerson and another host he doesn't know the name of.
Brian Barrett, right? Barrett.
The guy I'm going to be on with tomorrow.
Very compelling.
The guy not named Mark James. So what do you got, Eric?
Oh, God, Mark James. Don't get me started on Mark James.
What are your thoughts on Eric?
We basically, what you just said is that you like everybody at WEEI except one person.
Pretty much. Okay. Does that make me a bad person?
No, it makes you actually a very sound person.
What exactly do you dislike about Mark? I find him very entertaining.
We only got an hour and a half.
He can be entertaining, but if I was in a room with him and he spoke to me the way he speaks to other people, I can't speak to what might happen.
Can I tell you something that's gonna ruin it for you, Eric? And I think Andy will agree with me.
Don't put words in my mouth.
No, I'm just saying I think you will agree with me. He's actually an okay guy.
I think he is.
He's actually a good guy.
Yeah, he.
You know what? I think that about most people that I hear on the radio. I feel like everything's a shtick. Like, you know, they're probably decent people.
No. Dale's an a-hole. No. So what do you got, Eric?
I've been thinking about this for a few days, but I don't usually get a chance to call in. Racism in New England runs deep, and being a white guy, like when you're alone in a room with other white guys, you hear what's really going on. You know, they think, hey, we're all friends here. So,
yeah, but hey, Eric, don't kid yourself that doesn't happen in Seattle and Dallas and Los Angeles.
Oh no, no,
and Atlanta.
I believe it. I believe it. That's why this movement's like nationwide. But the people who are ignorant and racist already, I don't think it's going to benefit. But I'm looking towards the kids right now. Like having an African American quarterback is going to pay dividends, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now.
Because of the kids?
Well, no, because they're going to grow up and they're going to be like, oh, the quarterback was this wonderful black guy. It's just going to become more commonplace.
Yeah, but Eric, here's the thing. If you already had Lamar Jackson, I mean, I'm using one
Thanks,
example.
Eric.
You have good African American quarterbacks already.
No, I think his point is here. And I think
it doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't think it matters either.
But you can't pretend it didn't. I don't know whether it's reality or just low hanging fruit for perception. The fact that the Patriots, for an extended period of time now, have been about Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Wes Welker. What do those guys have in common?
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
Hold on, I got it. Hold on.
Super Bowl winners.
All except for Wes Welker, not Wes Welker.
Not his fault, but we can get that into a different show.
Well, if he had caught the ball, maybe they would have won.
Yeah. If they'd won the game in 2007, he would have been the MVP, potentially.
Yeah. You want to make sure that you bring your best foot forward out there.
Dip your toe in the water there. But so there, it is what it is. Like Larry Bird was white, was a great Celtic, right? Like that's just, it's inarguable. It's a fact. Right. Now, what it meant or what it led to or how it fit, that's a whole question and a debate and Showtime and Magic and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact is, people think of little white slot receivers as part of the Patriot way.
They would be putting the crosshairs more, and you're right. They'd be putting the crosshairs more if they weren't winning and having that dynamic.
I just, if they were the all white team and they stunk.
And I will also say this is that it's a very, I mean, it's the smallest of sample size. You're talking about basically one game, but when Jacoby Brissett got a chance, everyone's like, oh my goodness, there it is. There's the African American quarterback for the Patriots. No, I don't think so.
Well, See, I'm in a weird world because I am definitely, at least in sports, for the most part, and Shalice may disagree based on some of my opinions, but like, I grew up where Bo was a god to me. Randall Cunningham was a god to me, right? Like, that was just what I saw. And I, like, at the time, you don't say, well, I happen to like the black running back over Craig James, the white running
back. But,
Andy, you know why? Because the black running back was the greatest athlete I've ever seen, and that's why I watch sports.
Andy, I think that that's why that sort of narrative that what Shalise was talking about is flawed, because it's not everyone was like you were. I think everyone I know was like, if you were really good at athletics, if you were really good in terms of something that you loved, which is watching professional sports or college sports, around here, it wasn't. You didn't care if they were black and white. Now, that doesn't take away from the other racist problems in the area. I understand that.
Or everywhere.
Right. But
I think that's the base of the Drew Brees thing. Drew Brees, on some level, I think he honestly feels he's an equal with his black teammates. Except his black teammates are telling him, yeah, when we're in the locker room, maybe we're equals. When I leave, you're treated differently than I'm treated.
But why is that?
Racism.
I think it's because he's the star quarterback.
No, I think there's more than that. I think there is a reality of the meritocracy of sports, the frauds, I call it, the fans. I don't care whether you're black, white, Dominican. If you hit the longest home run and you do it really often, I really like you, right? Like, that's just cool. And if you don't, well, okay, you're white, but I'm going to root for you because you're batting 220 and have three home runs. Like, no. So there is a meritocracy within the game.
Who's the best player in baseball?
Mike Trout.
Who's the most popular player in baseball? It ain't Mike Trout.
Bryce Harper's a weird one for me. Is he super popular or not? I know they try to force him on me.
They don't have a popular player.
I asked the question, and I'm trying to see what you're thinking.
Here's a better example, perhaps,
okay,
because it's about this area. Who is the guy that everyone, the most popular guy on this team for the last few years?
On which team?
The Red Sox.
The most popular guy on the Red Sox?
Yes. It was Mookie Betts.
Yes.
Right? And who was the guy that the Red Sox were panicked over in terms of losing ticket sales, publicity, perception? It was losing Mookie Betts because of exactly that. Nobody traded him. Clearly. To go back to the conversation that you had with Shalise yesterday, that's a perfect example to me. Like, Mookie Betts was the most popular guy. Now, did he have this kind of personality that David Ortiz or a lot of guys have? No. I mean, but
he was one of the most boring superstars this city has ever seen.
But he was the most popular guy, not because of his personality, but because of the way he played and because of his name.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Doesn't matter if it was black or white or whatever.
Right.
That is the reality of, I think, of our area. It doesn't make a difference. And I know the, what is the, he, not the, the Spike Lee movie, Do the Right Thing,
yep.
where they have the two guys, you know, walking down the street, and one has the bird jersey, and one has, what is it, the magic jersey? Yeah, and that's how it's going to be, Boston is going to be viewed, because of exactly what you said, before the Patriots, Welker, and Edelman, and all these guys, there was Bird, and so, there was that team. But even then, Robert Parrish, to me, like, he was an iconic guy. Like, he was...
Dennis Johnson was my favorite player in that 80s team.
Exactly.
Just I like the way Marty Barrett. What does that say about me?
You mean Shilly's
well, I like,
right.
You know who I liked on that team? I like Dave Henderson. I love Dave Henderson.
Love Hendu. Right? Because he had personality, and he was clutch.
And
had nothing to do with his race. Nothing.
See, that's where I look at it. But it can be dragged in that direction because Trot Nixon is popular. Well, you know why Trot Nixon's popular.
Yeah, the gritty, yeah, gutty Trot Nixon. Dirt dog,
and it doesn't hurt that he's white. Like, that's the connection.
Why, but that's, and I think this is a sort of a fair narrative people bring up. Oh, he's white, he's the gritty, gutty guy.
Right.
Right?
But
and so
Dave Roberts did one thing. One single thing. It was a big thing, but he did one thing in a Red Sox uniform, and the guy will never buy a meal or a drink ever again in this city.
Right. And but that's where I think, and we're frauds, success. Yes. And even though it was only one thing, it was big success on a singular level.
Right.
But then you get into the Dustin Pedroias or the Trot Nixons, and is that a racial thing? I think some of it is size, the underdog thing, which I think Isaiah Thomas and Dustin Pedroia benefited from. Well, the guy's the same height as me, and he's scoring, you know, 28 points in a fourth quarter.
If Julian Edelman were 6'2", 210... Do you think he would be as popular as he is now?
No.
Okay. I agree.
I don't. But I also think there's an evolution here that could be good for the city, and it's not just Cam. Look at this team, the potential to what it can be. We talk about Brady, Gronk, Welker, Edelman, those guys. It's not crazy to think it could be Cam, N'Keal Harry, Sony Michel, Mohamed Sanu. That's a change.
Sure.
That's a visual change.
What I don't want it to be, I so... God, don't want it to be, hey, Cam Newton, great player, black quarterback, Patriots. I don't want that to be a part of the narrative, and I know it's going to be.
Not here.
Nationally
it will be.
I just want it to be Cam Newton. Holy friggin' crap, is this guy good?
Right.
Look at him go. And look at him be able to do this and do that and throw that there and be tough and be a win. That's all I want out of Cam Newton.
I know we got to go to a break, but give me one, to go back to the Shalise conversation. Give me one. All you have to do is say, give me one example. And all of us growing up in this Boston area, give me one example where you think that we did not, I don't want to say idolize, but hold a guy up on a pedestal.
Appreciate
because a guy, because he, in this sporting community, because of his race.
I mean, a guy.
Give me one example of that. And if you do, I will sincerely say, oh, well, maybe you're right or wrong. I can't think of any. Like, I can't think of any. And that said, I agree, Andy. Like, in this day and age, in this time, in the last few months particularly.
Jim Rice.
You think Jim Rice?
I don't think Jim Rice ever
he
got
He was
his
in
throw.
My head. Name Jim Rice was bouncing around.
Jim
in my,
Rice.
Now,
think,
wasn't
Jim,
he kind think, of a dink?
Yes.
So,
yeah,
but
yes.
Was he? Did people not like him because he was a dink?
No,
or because
the media
he was,
didn't like him because he was a
right,
dink.
Right, but doesn't that percolate out?
Like, yeah,
I don't
it
know
does.
How that percolates out
you
a little
it does,
bit.
But Jim Rice was greatest Jim Rice was, I don't think Jim Rice ever got the adulation that...
Oh, I think he did.
David Ortiz got...
Dewey would be good here. I don't know if it fits, but your argument would be strengthened if it were Dewey. Now, this is a little before my time, so I'm...
Yeah, no, Dewey... Dwight
was Dewey overloved and Rice underloved?
No.
Dewey was,
okay.
No,
because
Dwight,
good
a, for, Dwight Evans is a borderline Hall of Famer.
Well, okay. And he, if anything, he was underappreciated because he got off to such a slow start in his career. But you bring up Jim Rice, and I would disagree. Like, I think that Jim Rice was, like, viewed as a unbelievable player, a superstar player.
Yeah, but do you remember, and maybe I'm remembering this wrong from when I was a kid. Shut up with the damn light. I'm almost done over there.
Stop with your old man baseball stories and go to break.
All right, we'll go to break. We'll come back. We'll talk.
We got more,
617.
More old men baseball
more
stories
old,
after the
more
break.
More old white men baseball talk coming up. Sports Radio WEEI.
93.7 FM. WEEI.
Coming up in the final hour, I want to talk about the Redskins. Do you guys want to get into that a little bit? And
sure.
What may end up happening there?
Oh, I think that you can already write the final chapter. I don't know how you get there, but they are formerly known as the Redskins is where you're ending
up. I
don't
know about that. I don't know. I
do. Okay. There's money involved. They want to move back into the city of Washington.
It's true.
They want land. They want a new stadium.
And let's be honest, last 2 months, like this is a completely different environment than at any other time Daniel Snyder has.
But, correct.
But you just said it.
You have Daniel Snyder as the owner, and he's the wild card.
But he had much, let's say it this way, he had much more power in this respect before the last 2 months.
I don't know, but the bottom line is he'll be the former owner of the Redskins. He'll be the former owner of the team formerly known as the Redskins if he wants to die on that hill. He will be.
Or he'll be the NFL version of Donald Sterling.
Yeah, no, that's
they'll
my point. He'll be gone.
He will be gone.
There will be lawyers and lawsuits and arguments. Mm-hmm. There is no doubt in my mind that they will not be the Redskins for the 2021 season. Now, you go down the next line. The Indians.
All right, hold those thoughts. We'll do that.
Okay, hold my thoughts.
Let's take these phone calls. 617-779-7937. 779-7937. Paul is in Reading. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hey, what's happening? You guys were talking about athletes that I actually was not planning on calling in, but it just hit me right away.
But you know what, Paul? We are so damn good that we forced you to call in. Isn't that true?
Absolutely, okay, and my number one guy is played high school ball here, played for the Knicks, Patrick Ewing. You could argue he's the best professional athlete of the Big Four sports to ever come out of New England. Maybe someone in hockey. I mean, but that guy dealt with a lot of crap. He basically, when he decided to go to, it was BC and Georgetown. Where would you go at that time? I'm sorry. You know, at the time. So this was 1980 was
80,
coming out of
82. Yeah, he announced it at Satch Sanders Restaurant. I remember that.
What was the name of that place?
But
not the steak and shake.
and Paul, as a quick aside, you know another team or another school that was in the mix for Patrick Ewing?
Which Tufts.
Close.
Really?
Close. Small, right? What?
BU.
Oh,
really?
BU was a finalist for Patrick Jarvis, Ewing.
Right? I didn't know that.
It might have changed things for them.
But, anyway,
they still might have a football program.
That guy, he had to deal with a lot of stuff. I mean, if you know, the people held signs in the stands. This is not made up.
About 1981, 82, he was a senior at CRNL, and he went to a BC Georgetown game.
And... Correct? And people hand up signs that said Pat Ewing can't read this.
Yep.
I mean, and that's just despicable.
Oh no, I'm sorry. People put that up when BC played Georgetown.
Yeah,
his
Paul.
Year.
I would say this
Thanks,
though.
Paul.
I would say
Thanks
this
for the phone
about
call,
the
Paul.
Appreciation of Patrick Ewing because there's no doubt. I mean, he was if you talk about top the best high school athletes ever in this area, he's at the top of the list. But because he left, because he went to Georgetown and then he went to New York after that, that's where the appreciation comes in.
People never look at Patrick Ewing like he's a hometown guy.
Why is that?
Well, because he went to Georgetown, he went to the Knicks.
Because he skipped BC and he ended up playing for the Knicks with the
Frozen Envelope. Now, I fully believe had he somehow ended up with a cold envelope for the Celtics.
Len Bias was ready to be the next Larry Bird, everyone was ready for that.
You know who else would have been? Magic Johnson. Had history played out differently and Magic Johnson was with the Celtics and Larry Bird was with the Lakers, you don't think Magic Johnson would have been adored by the masses
because
of
Boston? The way he played, people would have drooled all over Magic Johnson at the time.
Not today, because that's frowned upon at 6 feet with a mask on.
I'm saying back then when it was okay.
No, that's my whole overly simplified point. We are simpletons of sports. Do cool things on your field, court, or ice, and we will bow down to you, and we will even look past various transgressions to do so.
Guess what, boys? We got 1 hour to go.
Yeah.
Taking a break. More phone calls. We'll talk about the nickname of the Washington football team. We'll get more of your phone calls. More on Cam Newton. The more I think about Cam Newton, the more excited I am.
You're getting a jersey. Get a jersey.
They
take in pre-orders now. I'll check for you during the break.
I have a question for you guys regarding Cam Newton versus Tom Brady We'll do that in the final hour. It's 617-779-7937, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.